for the word this morning. I'm going to have you all open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25, verse 31, to the end of the chapter. Matthew chapter 25, verses 31, starting verse 31. And I'm going to be reading from ESV. The word of the Lord says, is Jesus speaking. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all nations, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, saying, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? Then the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed, into the evil fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not welcome me. Naked, you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them saying, truly, I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Amen. You may be seated, church. That's some pretty heavy words by Jesus. In fact, if we look in the book of Matthew, this was the last sort of parable that Jesus said before the events of Passion Week. You know, when I first read this Bible passage, and it's something I was ruminating with, and just a little bit to, as a side note, like, I thought of, interestingly, I don't know why. I'll be really honest with you. I thought of this TV show that was on in the early 2010s called Undercover Boss. Has anybody seen the TV show Undercover Boss? Okay. It's a TV show, a reality TV show, where this big CEO of a company goes undercover or dresses like an employee, goes to one of their branches in the middle of nowhere, and starts working undercover as an employee, probably in the lowest rank, as a janitor, as a cook, just to see what their company is like on the ground level, to see what the employees are dealing with on a daily basis. And oftentimes, you'll see CEOs that are in their office, in the C-suites. They're so in charge of the finances, the money, the vision of the company, but they somehow lose touch with what's happening in the ranks. And you watch the show, and sometimes you have, you know, they're working alongside a single mom, or they're working side to side with somebody who's just trying to make ends meet. And they see people that are working so hard, that are treating them, the customers, really well. Maybe they're treating the new CEO, you know, well, helping them out. And then the show ends with a giant, you know, gratitude where the CEO says, you know, because you helped me, I'm going to pay for your kid's college, or I'm going to, you know, promote you, or I'm going to do all of these things. And I thought of that, interestingly, I don't know, it's just one of those things, I just thought of that experience when I was reading this passage. Because I think that oftentimes we know that Jesus is omnipresent and he's here. But sometimes it reaches the level of the mind, but it never reaches the level of the heart. And Jesus is oftentimes like an undercover boss, our undercover CEO, where we have different situations or opportunities in life to be the hands and feet of Jesus to our brothers, to the world around us. And Jesus is watching and asking me, and he's saying, Jason, will Jason feed me? Will Jason clothe me? Will Jason visit me? And as I read this parable and meditated over it on the past couple weeks, I felt very, really convicted, because in this parable, Jesus makes such a stark comparison between sheep and goats. It's black and it's white. There's no gray and there's no middle ground. We either do what he commands us to do or we don't. We look at this parable and I thought to myself, or we think to ourselves a lot of times, you know, this is, you know, separating the world and the church. I go to church on Sunday, so I'm obviously on the right side. I'm all good. But you know, coming to church, taking time out of your Sunday, does not make you in itself a disciple of Jesus. So in this next few moments, I want to really take this moment to examine ourselves, and I'm talking about me first, to examine myself and ask myself, Lord, am I a sheep? Do I do sheep things? Or am I a goat and don't do those things that you called me to do? In this parable, very stark difference between sheep and goats. But what's the difference between the two? What separates them? What does Jesus say in this parable that separates them from one another? What's the thing that differentiates them? Why were the sheep invited into the inheritance that God had and the goats were not? Did the sheep go to church every Sunday? Did they sing during worship? Did they lead worship? Did they sing in fanfare? Did they sing in choir? Was that what Jesus said? Not really. The reason why the sheep were welcomed into inheritance is because they did things to the least of these. They did things to their brothers, and in that way, they did things on behalf of Jesus. They did things to Jesus. They fed the hungry. They gave drink to the thirsty. They welcomed the strangers, clothed the naked. Sheep are Christians that bear fruit. Not just self-professing people that just believe in God, but sheep that bear fruit. What the Lord impressed on my heart, that it's not enough for me to just come to church, but I need to be a true disciple of Jesus. It's not enough for me to just read my daily Bible plan, but I need to become a true disciple of Jesus, because fruit is a direct result of being transformed by Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 7 says something very, very interesting in verse 16, where he's talking about fruits. And here he's talking about false prophets and how you recognize false prophets. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 16, he says, you will recognize them by their fruits. As are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. And every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown in the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. You see, in this analogy, we see that only trees with good fruit survive. As Christians, we need to bear good fruit. What happens to the tree that bears no fruit? It's cut down. What happened to the tree that bears bad fruit? Cut down. So it's either we bear good fruit or nothing else. They have the same fate. John 15:2. The Father cuts off every branch. This is the parable of the vine. He cuts down every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. And he goes on to say in verse 6 of John 15, if you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. We realize that in the parable of the talents, the one person who didn't invest his talent, who bore no fruit, Jesus sent away. So, church, a question that I've been asking myself is, if we are truly transformed by Christ and we've truly accepted the gospel of Christ, then we ought to be bearing fruit. Are you bearing fruit? Am I bearing fruit? This is not a question that is between me and my family. It's between you and your friends. God is not one day going to say, Cosman family, you guys are all going to heaven. Congratulations, come through the gates. No, he's going to say Jason. He's going to say Michelle. He's going to say Felicia. He's going to say John. He's going to say Emma. He's going to say Theo. It's personal. It's personal. Now, it's important to delineate that our salvation is by faith and faith alone in Jesus. It's faith through grace, not by our good works. It's not faith plus works. Faith and the good things that I do equal salvation, because Jesus paid it all on the cross. When we go to him and we're at heaven's gates and we stand before the Lord, we say we inherit because of what Jesus did on the cross, not because of what I do. And salvation is by faith alone. A great example of this is the thief on the cross. That's one person that I really want to meet one day and ask him and say, what was it like when you showed up at heaven's gates and they asked you, by what basis are you going to come into heaven? And he said, I can come in. And even in this parable of the sheep and the goats, Jesus makes this abundantly clear. Let me highlight one verse from the passage that I just read, verse 34. Matthew 25, verse 34. Jesus says, then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Long before you were able to do good works, the inheritance was already prepared for you through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Long before we were able to do anything to earn it, to deserve it. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 says this, for it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and it's not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not works, so anyone can boast. Galatians 2:16, a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus. Good works do not cause salvation, they are the result of salvation. C.S. Lewis paints the picture like this. Faith and works are like the two blades of a pair of scissors. You can't have one without the other. Neither will work without the other. But if our goal is to bear good fruit, church, And if God calls us to bear good fruit, then we need to have a good seed and a good soil. Jesus, in a parable of the sower, says this. So the sower casts his seed on the path, on the rocks, on the thorns, and good soil. Day after day, time after time, church, my call and my conviction this morning is to really tend the soil of our hearts on a daily basis. Is it rocky? Do we receive the word of God with joy, but is there no root? Is it thorny? Do the cares and the anxieties of the world choke up the gospel that's in us? Is it good soil? Do we hear? Do we understand? If we want to bear good fruit, we need to have the seed of the gospel. And if I'm not bearing good fruit, then I need to ask myself, did the gospel really take root in my heart? Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. The time is short. And one of the things I've really been convicted in these past few weeks is that we need to be ready for that. We don't know the time or the hour. We don't know how much life, how much breath we have in our lungs. And one day we're gonna face him. One day at the harvest, Jesus will separate the wheat from the weeds. One day he's gonna separate the wheat from the chaff. And we need to stand before the Lord and we need to say, Lord, I accepted the gospel and that look at the fruit that I bore. This is a call to self-examine ourselves. Because if we can honestly see ourselves bearing fruit, if we're doing sheep things, then praise the Lord. But if we can't say that we're bearing fruit and we look at our lives and you see, man, I'm lacking in that area, then we might as well be bad fruit because the fate is the same. It's a heavy word, but it's something that Jesus put on my heart. But church, if we're not bearing fruit, then we need to ask ourselves if the seed of the gospel has taken root in our hearts. Because if there's no fruit, there's no root. If there's no fruit, then there's no root. Jesus is coming soon. We're either on fire or we're not. Jesus said clearly, if you're lukewarm, you're out. He doesn't like the cold. He doesn't like the lukewarm all the same. I want us to take the same posture as Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, which says the following, examine yourselves to see whether are in your faith. Test yourselves. And if we are saved, if the gospel of Jesus has really taken root in our hearts, if we're changed and transformed by the blood of Jesus, then let me motivate you this morning to be a sheep. Let that gospel shine through you. Feed the hungry. Give drink to the thirsty. Welcome the stranger. Clothe the naked. Visit the sick. Visit the imprisoned. Pray for your brothers. Do good to those around you. Love each other, because in loving each other, the world will know you are my disciples. Church, the time is short. Let's take the word of God. Let it seed in our hearts. Let it bear fruit in good works. May the Lord help us to be ready for his coming. If he comes or we go, let's be ready for the Lord. Amen.